By way of theme introduction this morning, I just want to quickly revisit last week. If you recall, both Judy and I preached on 1 Corinthians 13. And that was all about? Yes, love. And if you recall the very last verse, you remember the words? And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And so the whole of Sunday last week was saturated with teaching on love. Precious subject. We're going to skip back a little to the first of those three words. Faith, hope, and love. And today, and I'm going to split the sermon in two. In a couple of weeks' time, we'll cover the second part of it. We're going to be looking at the subject of faith and how important that is. In fact, Scripture says it is impossible to please God without faith. It's where it starts. If we look at faith, hope, and love, when we're in that place of faith, fully trusting God, knowing God, that gives us hope because we see the world through different eyes. We see, as it were, the world through Jesus' eyes. And from that hope, we move into that intimacy of our relationship with God. So those three words are closely linked. So we're going to start this morning and spend a little bit of time on faith. Just see what God teaches us on that subject. Now, what's important is the context of this morning's reading. Because, Norlene, thank you for that reading. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's teaching them. And what has just transpired is the Last Supper. So what I'd like you all to do is imagine being one of the disciples now. So here's Jesus teaching. And he says to you, I'm about to leave you. Who? Jesus? Leave us? This incredible man that we followed for the last few years. This incredibly gifted teacher, the one who performs miracles, who attracts huge crowds. He's leaving us? But he adds to that. He says, you can't come with me. Wow. Okay. Jesus then explains to them that whatever needs to be done, he's got to do on his own. So think about being a disciple at that time. What condition would your heart have been in? Would you have been troubled in any way? I would have been. All sorts of things would have been going around in my mind. Who leads us now? What protection do we have against the other religious authorities? Are we going to be persecuted? What next? Troubled hearts indeed. Yet, if you listen to that reading a few minutes ago, the first verse and the last verse contained something Jesus was teaching. Believe in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. So at this time of high anxiety, Jesus says to them, do not let your hearts be troubled. Our question would be, how, Jesus? The answer? Believe in me. That's it. Believe in me, says Jesus. And by that he's saying, me, my witness that you've seen, and my teaching, which you heard in that reading, what is he saying? Even though I'm going, and there's work that needs to be done, I'm coming to take you back again. In fact, I'm going somewhere. We know that place to be heaven. And where he's going is to his Father's house. So he says to the disciples, don't stress. Don't be anxious. Believe in me. I'm going away, but I'm coming back. And when I take you to be with me, that's going to be for how long? Forever. Forever. So let's just let that sink in for a moment before I move into the actual passage itself and the teaching. Actually, in John's Gospel is something really important as well. So now we're looking at the Gospel rather than just the passage. Jesus says to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed." Question to you this morning and to me. I haven't seen Jesus. Have you? No. Do you believe? Blessed are you. Who said that? Jesus. Later on, chapter 20, verse 31. So this is about the whole gospel and all the accounts and all the miracles Jesus has performed. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Stop there for a moment. By believing you may have life in his name. See, every one of us here should be experiencing that power, that love of God in us. If we believe, because the Word says so, we'll experience the love of God. The life comes through Christ. What life? The life of God, which comes via the life of Christ, our Lord and Savior. So that's the flow. We believe, as Jesus says in this passage, in Him. And we believe in God. And through that relationship, we experience life, spiritual life, through God. Is your heart troubled this morning? Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust." Other translations, "believe in God." Trust, believe in me. "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." Believe is the word Jesus uses. That's a message for us this morning. So in essence, Jesus says to you and I this morning, do not be troubled. Believe in me. Aha! Now let's stop for a moment. What troubles are you going through at the moment? Seriously. Are you anxious? Concerned about something? Possibly many things. And maybe you're working through them this way, which is, God, you have absolutely no idea what I'm going through. It's so difficult, so deep, so complicated. There is no way you could have a grasp on this. Or perhaps you are saying, God, you've got the whole world to look after. Seriously? Me and my problems? Obviously, that's not at the top of your power. Or perhaps you're thinking, actually, God can't help me. This is too much for him. And the list goes on and on. We can come up with 101 excuses. No, God can't. Hear what Jesus says to you and I this morning. Yes, you can. With me. If you trust me and you journey with me and I live in and through you, all things are possible with God. If we believe. It sounds so simple, too good to be true. Well, here's the test for you and I this morning. Do you believe what God says in His Word? Do you? Because then you'll hear Jesus' words very powerfully this morning. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in me for everything. But now I want to go a little bit deeper into the area of why should we trust Jesus? What is this promise that he gives us that is so special? And my prayer this morning is, at the end of this message and in 2 weeks' time, that we will all come to the realization that he is a trustworthy Lord and Savior and God. And in him we can trust because he's doing an amazing work. He's done something already, which we'll look at now, and there's still more to come. So let's dive a little bit deeper into the passage this morning. Verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. Wow. Let's just think about that for a moment. He's going to prepare a room for you and for me. Now remember the context. He is speaking to the disciples before he goes to the cross. So what scenario are we talking about here? Have the sins of the world been forgiven yet? No. The Lamb of God was yet to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, I've still got work to do. I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to die for the sins of the world, be raised again, and then I'm going to come and take you to the room that I'm preparing for you. So can you see the flow of Jesus' teaching? So we're post-cross time. Jesus has already done the work of the cross. So our sins are forgiven. He's paid the price. The Lamb of God has come and taken away the sins of the world. What's left? Jesus is waiting for us. He's prepared a room for us. And he's going to take us at some stage. Whether it's now, tomorrow, when he comes again, matters not. He's preparing a place for you and for me. But here's just a little insight as to how precious this is. Take note, Jesus says, my Father's house. What's important about my Father's house? You see, it's not a hotel. We are not going to check in and check out. It's the Father's house. We are going to go as the household of God, God's children, God's family, to live there forever with him. Is that special? Think about it. Think about our own homes. When you were raised as a child in your own home, did it feel good when you got home? And mom and dad were there, brothers and sisters? It's a lovely place to be, but this is way beyond that. This is the Father's house. And Jesus says, I'm coming to take you, whenever that is, to live there forever. Remember, these are Jesus' words in the Bible. Do you believe them? Question to me, Brian, do you believe them? You see, if you do, if I do, then something really special lies ahead. It's not just, well, one day I'm going to stop breathing on earth and that's it. No. Our lives on earth continue with the Holy Spirit living in us, living to the glory of God, but there's something more. There's new life in the Father's house. For every single one of us, those who believe in Jesus Christ. Now, who was in the bunch of disciples with Jesus? Our friend Peter. Think about being Peter for a moment. Because Jesus does something else that night. He doesn't only tell them he's going to leave them. He also says to Peter, you are going to deny me three times tonight. Ooh. Really? Yet what was Jesus saying to Peter? I'm going to prepare a room for you in my Father's house. What does that mean for you and I? Our following of Jesus may be imperfect. We may make all sorts of mistakes on the way, take detours off the path that he sets us to walk. Does it matter? Not according to the scripture. Because Peter did all sorts of strange things. Some would say the worst being denying Jesus. And what does Jesus say to Peter? I'm going to prepare a room for you. You see, there's this thing called forgiveness. That's why Christ went to the cross, to die for our sins. So when we mess up, God doesn't say, door closed, you can't come into the house. He says, you're forgiven through the blood of the Lamb. Welcome into my house, says the Father to you and to me, if we believe. So the work of the cross removed all obstacles to us entering into the Father's house. There is now a clear path. And Jesus says, one day I'm going to take you to that incredible house, my Father's house, where you'll spend eternity with him, with me. Jesus said, that you also may be where I am. Where is Jesus now? Anyone hazard a guess? In heaven. In heaven. In his Father's house. And he is longing, he is waiting to take us to be with him. Is that something to look forward to? Is that hope? Amen. It is. And we should be living in that hope. So I'm going to close this morning with something that John Piper has written. So this is a summary of everything that we've gone through, in essence. In other words, Peter and the other disciples, and you and I, do not need to have an unholy turmoil of soul. Another way of putting that, a fearful soul, an anxious soul. We don't need to have that. Our sin does not mean that our place in God's household will be unavailable or unsuitable, because Jesus, this night that we're talking about, when this was written, goes to purchase our forgiveness and become the way to the Father. He makes our room not only available, but suitable and certain for his redeemed sheep. Are you a redeemed sheep, child of God? Then it's certain, not possible. Certain. So let not your hearts be troubled. Trust me, says Jesus. Amen. Amen.